The clock has moved past 4 p.m. here on the East Coast, meaning the new league year has begun in the NFL. All the trades and all the free agent agreements can now become official as paperwork is submitted to the league office. So let's get right to Adam Schefter. And first of all, it's only appropriate, Adam, Happy New Year. It's been a busy day across the NFL. Give us the latest, starting with a couple moves that Arizona made.
Well, happy new league year to you, Laura, and the Arizona Cardinals are celebrating in grand style. They go out today and they reach an agreement with A.J. Green on a one-year deal with basically a one-year contract up to $8.5 million, $6 million. He'll now go out to the desert to line up opposite DeAndre Hopkins and give Kyler Murray an additional target this upcoming season. And obviously on the offense side of the football, moments ago, the Cardinals just traded a third-round pick to the Las Vegas Raiders for Rodney Hudson and a seventh-round draft pick. They get Hudson to be the center anchor of their offensive line, somebody they were targeting all day. The Raiders are planning to release him, but they get back a pick instead. And Trent Williams reached agreement early this morning on a record-setting offensive line deal for over $130 million. You see the money involved there. He's considered one of the best offensive linemen in the game. He now will be paid as the best offensive lineman in the game and anchor the left side for Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. And, of course, today is the day that trades can become official. Matthew Stafford can be a Ram. Carson Wentz can be an Indianapolis Colt. Jared Goff can be a Detroit Lion. All these trades are now official, and that is what happens at the start of the league year. Happy new league year to you, Laura.
I love it. More Adam throughout the show today with all the latest as we welcome you to NFL Live. Coming up, why someone here thinks the Bears already had what Andy Dalton brings on their roster, plus free agent signings we think will be most impactful. Dan Orlovsky wearing green, so am I. Marcus Spears and Ryan Clark are here. They're not wearing green, but that's okay. We love them.
Still
anyway.
Look good, boys. Still look good.
That's is great. That green? Okay. All right. All right, fine.
You look good.
It's just Ryan who's not wearing green. That's all good. Listen, let's get back to Arizona, guys. DeAndre Hopkins may be getting some help in Arizona. D-Hop registered the third most receiving yards in the league last season, trailing only Stephon Diggs and Travis Kelce. He was responsible for over 34% of his team's receiving yards, the fifth highest rate by any player in the last five seasons. As you see here, though, he's already made the list twice previously while with the Texans, bringing in A.J. Green, as Adam reported, should at least help mitigate the heavy attention that he receives. So, Ryan, what do you make of the Cardinals getting A.J. Green to line up across from Hopkins?
Listen, the Cardinals are all about Kyler Murray, and it so seems that everybody else is, too. J.J. Watt, in his initial presser, I came here because Kyler Murray. You obviously got DeAndre Hopkins in trade. And now A.J. Green, who had a life of playing with Andy Dalton, who is fine, but he's not Kyler Murray, has now gone to a place to try to resurrect his career and get some footballs. You got Christian Kirk. You got Danny Isabella. You go out and get Rodney Hudson. So the Arizona Cardinals are showing you that they are about Kyler Murray. All 5'9½ of them, even though I know they list them a little bit taller.
He's
5'10. That's the dude they love. Hey, they ain't got to love him a lot because it's a pint-sized package, but they're going to protect that package. They're going to make sure that he has skilled players on the outside. Rodney Hudson, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green. They are showing Kyler Murray that they plan to win with him. When you got Cliff Kingsbury, when you made Kyler Murray the number one overall pick, you were dug in. Now build around him, and that's what the Arizona Cardinals are doing.
Yeah, Arizona's going for it. Now listen, A.J. Green doesn't swing the pendulum for me. Rodney Hudson does. That's a big signing. For A.J. Green, one thing it will do is it will allow Christian Kirk to go inside and play from the slot. That's actually where he's going to excel. But the question for A.J. Green isn't going to be like, can he play anymore? They're not going to ask him to go and have 8 or 10 catches a game. Can he give them 4 to 5 catches a game, opposite Hopkins at 12 yards a catch or something like that? A.J. Green is still good enough as a player to do that. The question is going to be health. 23 games over the last 3 years. So that's going to be the biggest question mark with this move is can he stay healthy to be a complementary piece opposite DeAndre Hopkins to allow Christian Kirk to go on the inside. Now, the Rodney Hudson move is big because this football team, even though Cliff Kingsbury loves to play spread out football, when they want to be nasty, they want to be nasty. Yeah. And Rodney Hudson will allow them to play a physical brand in the run game when it's necessary.
Yeah, Marcus Green and Hudson latest in a long line of moves for the Cardinals. They're 8-8 and third in the division last year. Do you think these moves make them a contender to win a very tough NFC West?
Absolutely. It makes them a contender, and I would put them second right now. Obviously, San Francisco, with all their injuries and all of that, I understand that. But at this point, like what I'm looking at Arizona do, they're investing, to Ryan's point, in Kyler Murray. And then the pickup of Rodney Hudson, I can't wait till we can explain why these centers and guards are becoming so important.
No doubt.
But when you look at this defense as well, J.J. Watt is going to add to that pass rush. Everybody remember, Chandler Jones was injured last year. He's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. They locked up Buda Baker. Vance Joseph did a phenomenal job, blitz packages. I remember all of us sitting there after watching that Seattle Seahawks game when they were making plays from a defensive standpoint. So there's a lot of things to like. Obviously, I would have the Rams one. I think Matt Stafford makes that a huge difference in that. But I don't think Arizona.
That's because you hate Jared Goff.
Division.
What, Ryan?
I don't hate Jared Goff.
That's because he hates Jared Goff. Man.
I just don't trust him. I just don't trust him. I don't hate him.
You hate him, bro.
I don't hate people that I don't trust. No, Ryan, you're not going to put that on my spirit. You ain't going to put that on my spirit.
Nah,
I pray
he's
every
telling
night.
The truth. RC telling
that
the truth.
Don't y'all, hate him telling the truth.
Marcus doesn't hate anybody. Marcus does not hate anybody. All right.
Anybody.
Enough of that.
Come on,
guys,
Lord.
This does.
Help me out.
Exactly. Yeah, I went ahead and settled that for us. Of course, this does make us wonder, though, guys, what's next for Larry Fitzgerald? He's 117 receptions away from matching Jerry Rice's all-time record. Fitz, currently a free agent, and after last season, wouldn't commit to another year in 2021. A massage therapist has filed a civil lawsuit against Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, alleging inappropriate conduct by Watson in her Houston area home just under a year ago. The lawsuit seeks unspecified compensatory damages and accuses Watson of committing, quote, civil assault. The Texans and NFL say they are aware of the lawsuit, and Watson denied the allegations in a statement last night on Twitter, saying he has rejected a baseless six-figure settlement demand and that he has never treated any woman with anything other than the utmost respect.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
What do we know about the moves on the O-line out in San Francisco?
Well, San Francisco shoring up its offensive line, Laura. Trent Williams, 6-year, $138 million-plus dollar deal to re-sign with the San Francisco 49ers. He had been talking to the Kansas City Chiefs. He had been talking to the Chicago Bears. But ultimately, in the end, he stays with San Francisco and announces the arrival of Alex Mack, the former Falcon center who played under Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. He's coming to San Francisco on a 2-year contract. They'll pay him on average about $5.5 million per year or so. So Mack comes in along the offensive line. Trent Williams gets brought back along the offensive line. And the 49ers feel pretty happy about where they're at up front this morning.
Yeah, lots of protection for Jimmy Garoppolo. And San Francisco, Adam, only had Jimmy G and Trent Williams on the field together for 28% of their offensive snaps last season, but they clearly had an impact on their team's performance. Look at this. The 49ers QBR and yards per rush nearly doubled with both Garoppolo and Trent Williams on the field, while also seeing a significant dip in their pressure rate faced. Remember, since 2017, the 49ers are 22-8 when Garoppolo starts, 7-27 when anyone else starts. So Marcus, let's start with Trent Williams. He was the number one free agent available. We know he's good, right? But does a Shanahan system make him even more valuable?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, I played against this guy. Cracked back on my behind one time, and I thought about retiring. I hate him hard. I would hate Trent Williams. Trust me. But here it is. First of all, I don't think I'm more happy or any guy in free agency. We all know, and it's been well documented, what Trent went through in Washington. But also, when you look at this system that he's in now, athleticism, the ability to get out, protect the blind side. Quarterbacks can literally close their eyes. They don't have to worry about that guy over there that's rushing over Trent Williams hitting them in the back, period. Right? This move had a lot to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. You have to surround him with above average players. And I know a lot of people get in a tizzy. Oh, he wins all the time. And look at the record. Please. We know Jimmy G ain't the most important person for the San Francisco 49ers. Here's the deal. When you look at what this signing meant for not only the 49ers, but what it meant for their current situation at quarterback, it's the most important move that's been made in free agency. And then secondly, it's probably the best player. You can make an argument that has been signed in free agency in regards to Trent Williams.
Yeah.
Home run by the San Francisco 49ers. And kudos to Trent Williams for fighting through adversity and continuing to press. And now he ends up more richer because he got paid in Washington as well.
Not more
of that,
richer.
Because of that talent
richer.
That he has. More richer.
More richer.
Hey, so Marcus, you mentioned something. I hate to do this to you, but you said that Trent Williams.
No, y'all didn't.
Cracked back on your behind.
Y'all didn't.
Was it
Get
this?
Him?
Was it this play? Was
oh,
this
my
it?
God.
Huh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, is it coming?
Ooh.
Look at the push.
Freeze like,
uh-oh.
Yo.
Come on.
Boom. Oh.
Go to bed. Boom. Go to bed.
Ah! Hey, man, you live to tell the story, man. You live to tell the story.
Go
Marcus,
to bed.
Have you ever seen that before, or did you just feel it in the moment? Have you ever watched that back?
Look at his face.
I didn't. Okay.
Big man balling.
Let me recover, okay? Because
big
my
man
own show ain't
big
supposed
man.
To disrespect me like that.
Flashbacks,
that's number
flashbacks,
one.
Flashbacks.
That is number one. That's the number one fact. The second thing is, L Boogie, to answer your question, I didn't know where the hell I was after he cracked back on me. I had to figure out what was going on, where I was, and who just hit me. I told my
which one of y'all kicked me?
Hatcher, who I'm cool with. I said, bro, I got cracked back on by like three people. He was like, nah, that was just Trent.
Hey, to be fair, we've showed Dan running out of the back of the end zone a lot on this show, so it's all good.
So
we're
true.
Just,
unnecessary.
We're putting it out for everybody today. Let's get back to Jimmy G, though, all right? Dan, they do
that
have
footage, that footage reminds me I'm thankful for playing quarterback, by the way. Never been hit like that.
Back to Jimmy G. Dan, they have this great O-line. Should the 49ers be excited about going into the season with Jimmy G under center?
Absolutely not. Jimmy G throws too many interceptions.
Ooh.
Too many interceptions. Jimmy Garoppolo has the third worst interception percentage in the NFL over the last three seasons. Too many turnovers.
Why do they keep winning, though?
They keep winning because he's with Kyle Shanahan. They keep winning because he's got
right.
a top two or three play caller in
you.
The NFL. And a lot of quarterbacks are going to go to the Super Bowl with Kyle Shanahan, like he did with Matt Ryan. Three top five offenses with three different quarterbacks. And it's not just the interceptions with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's also the injuries. Listen, if we are going to hold players accountable, like Jameis Winston, when we say Jameis turns the football over, well, so does Jimmy Garoppolo. He throws an interception for almost every single start he plays. So if we're going to say it about Jameis, we got to say it about Jimmy Garoppolo. If we're going to hold a guy like Carson Wentz accountable and we say, man, he's not healthy enough to get on the field, we got to do the same thing for Jimmy Garoppolo as well. He turns the football over too much, and he's not available enough. That's why I have been adamant.
True.
San Francisco cannot stand pat at quarterback.
No, I agree. Hey, listen, Mina Kimes is not on the show today, so I'm going to do something for her. When I watch Jimmy G play, when I think of Jimmy
Media
G at a quarterback, here's the face I make. Because that's how I feel. You're right. Marcus said you have to surround Jimmy G with above average players. You have to. You need the Trent Williams. You need a stable of running backs. You're going to need Brandon Ayuk. You're going to need Deebo Samuel because he can't make those plays himself.
Yeah.
Now, is he a good enough quarterback to play when surrounded by very good players and the most excellent play caller, the most creative pre-snap offense in football? Absolutely. But let's not forget, if not for Jimmy G, the San Francisco 49ers are Super Bowl champions. Emmanuel Sanders is as wide open as I am sitting in this room doing this show right now, and he doesn't hit him. That's why they lose. And so if you're the San Francisco 49ers, you can continue to build. You can get everybody else back happy, healthy. But if Jimmy G is your quarterback, you are not going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, simply put, Jimmy Garoppolo is a quarterback you win with. He's not a quarterback you win because.
Really quick, yes or no, in the draft, is that where they improve their quarterback?
Yeah, if Mac Jones goes to them, I would snatch him up in a heartbeat.
All right, listen.
They've already tried.
Mac Jones better than Jimmy G, apparently.
We're not talking about anything new.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
At 4 p.m. Eastern, the new league year was official in the NFL, meaning trades and free agent agreements can put pen to paper. So how about a little New Year's resolution time to get teams started on the right foot? Dan, give us a goal for a team this year.
The New England Patriots. The definition of aggressive is to pursue one's aims and interests aggressively, with intent and forcefully. That's it.
There we go.
You've done it in free agency. Go do it finding your quarterback. I don't care if you got to move up in the draft to go get a young guy to continue to build around. I don't care if you got to figure out a way to trade for Deshaun Watson, some shady stuff like that. But figure out a way to go get your quarterback of the future.
Hey, straight up, Houston Texans, stop being delusional. If you are married to someone and they refuse to come home, they ain't been home, and they say they ain't never coming home, you might want to help them pack their bags and leave. And so if you know that he won't play for you, find a trade suitor, get you a quarterback, get you a haul of draft picks, and start over with Coach David Culley. Give him a chance to at least try to win.
Okay, shut up, Ryan and Dan, before I start going. I don't want to hear your damn mouth. The Cowboys, y'all got to find a defense and fix the middle. This is about defensive tackles. This is about the safety position. This is about addressing a part of your team that really struggled mightily last year. This is the next step in trying to build out this roster and figuring out ways to form a formidable defense.
Yes, Wagyu, teams had no issues getting behind the Cowboys' secondary last year. They gave up 12 touchdowns and traveled 20 or more air yards. That's the most by any team. Dallas also had their struggles defending the run, too. They had struggles all over the place, allowing an average of 159 rushing yards per game, the third most in franchise history.
Seems like an easy
Adam Schefter back in here. New league year, Adam. Now some quarterback signings can become official, even if they happened before this week. Update us there.
Well, it's the trades, Laura, that are about to go through today. Carson Wentz goes to the Colts, where he finally gets to put on a new uniform. Matthew Stafford goes to the Los Angeles Rams, where he's united with Sean McVay out there. Of course, we heard about the Wentz trade earlier, him going from Philly to Indianapolis. And Jared Goff goes to the Detroit Lions from the Los Angeles Rams, now their new homes. Now we have Jacoby Brissett going from Indianapolis to Miami on a one-year deal where he'll back up Tua Tagovailoa there in Miami. Had other options, but ultimately he decided that Miami was the best fit for him. Brissett, a Dolphin. And Tyrod Taylor chooses an interesting landing spot in Houston where he may or may not back up Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun Watson's traded, Tyrod Taylor could become a starter, could be a bridge for a young quarterback they draft. All we know is Tyrod Taylor will be in Houston. We'll see who else joins him there. And Andy Dalton, the former Cowboys and Bengals quarterback, has reached agreement with the Chicago Bears on a one-year deal worth $10 million, upwards of $12 million. He would not have signed with Chicago, I don't believe, if he didn't believe he was going to be the opening day starting quarterback. And so Dalton is in line to be the Bears starting quarterback. And of course, the big questions are about Russell Wilson, because the Bears did engage the Seahawks in discussions. I'm told from Seattle that no offer ever was made, but there were discussions about parameters of a deal. So it's a question of semantics at this point in time. And Chicago said it aggressively pursued Russell Wilson in a trade for him. But the fact of the matter is that it's March 17th, and Seattle is not ready to trade Russell Wilson at this time, certainly not to a team that can't trade a quarterback and a premium draft pick in return. The Bears have the 20th overall pick. That's not high enough to draft one of the top quarterback prospects in this draft. They don't have an established quarterback on the roster. And even though Russell Wilson listed the Bears as one of the teams he would welcome a trade to, the Bears did not have enough assets in the end to get a deal done with Seattle right now. Doesn't mean Seattle is not dealing Russell Wilson, but it's not dealing him right now, and we'll see how that takes shape as the draft draws closer.
Yeah, you just think about the haul that you'd have to get for Russell Wilson. And to your point, Adam, the Bears not equipped with that. But it's also very obvious that the Bears are trying to get upgrades at the quarterback position, and it just didn't work out here. So either way, Marcus, how bad do you think the Bears have messed this up?
Royally. They've royally messed up, L Boogie. And L Boogie, don't get nervous, but I wanna take people down me and your memory lane.
Yeah.
Do you remember us standing on the sideline watching Clemson and Alabama play some years ago?
I do.
And looking at each other while Deshaun Watson was playing and saying to ourselves, how in the hell is he not going to be the first pick of the draft? That's how high we were on him. And they lost that game. And L Boogie, what happened the following year?
Yeah, they just kept winning and winning, and Deshaun Watson just kept getting better and better, and we kept wondering why under the sun would Deshaun Watson not be the number one overall pick, because it's not just the way he plays on the field, it's the way he leads a team. Carry on.
Thank you. Okay, bam, there it is. So we gathered all of that information at SEC Network when we were covering Alabama, the University of Alabama win championships. And there was one guy in college football that was on one team that we said could make up for the disadvantages that they had against the Alabama Crimson Tide. That guy was Deshaun Watson. So Ryan Pace messed this up 4 years ago, y'all. This ain't just today or yesterday when they decided to sign Andy Dalton. This is a result of watching a guy play and saying to yourself, well, we're going to draft somebody that ain't played that much and ain't played in these big games and ain't played against the type of talent that he going to see each and every Sunday in the NFL. Nah, we're going to take a flyer. We're going to draft traits as opposed to drafting what the hell we was watching. Mm. So it's their fault. 4 years ago, they should have signed Deshaun Watson and drafted him. You draft Mitch Trubisky, now you end up with Andy Dalton hoping he can lead you to a damn playoff win.
Listen, I'm not that upset, guys. I mean, I'm not that mad. I think you do stupid things, you get stupid results. You get what you give. And obviously, Ryan Pace had an opportunity to draft Deshaun Watson. What did he do? He started listening to what Adam Schefter was saying, other teams were saying. He started listening to Mort say, you know what? Mitchell Trubisky is moving up the draft charts. And guess what? He picked Mitchell Trubisky. Not only did he pick him, he moved up to get him. He fooled himself. He was in the Mitchell Trubisky sweepstakes by his lonesome. And that's just why he is no longer going to be a GM. So I'm not mad. I'm not upset. Every now and then, the world gives you what you deserve. There was no grace and mercy in this one. Mitchell Trubisky failed miserably. Nick Foles was the guy he wanted to replace him with. He also failed miserably. And so now when Andy Dalton goes there and does Andy Dalton type things, and it's no offense to Andy Dalton, then they will all be out. They will not have a job. And so next year at this time, we'll be talking about what the new head coach, what the new GM is going to do with their new quarterback, because it ain't going to be none of them.
Yeah, this is what happens when an organization has a general manager that doesn't know what he's looking like in a quarterback. Doesn't know what a quarterback should look like. It's like he's drafting a quarterback as if it's a defensive end. Big, fast, physical, strong. That's not how you evaluate quarterbacks, Ryan Pace. It's also what it looks like
great
when your
point.
Organization
great
is
point,
run
Dio.
From panic. Yeah. He never watched Panic Room with Jody Foster. They never had the room built in to know what to do when panic set in, because this is a panic signing.
Excellent.
You didn't need to do this today. You signed Andy Dalton. You've got Nick Foles. They're the same dude. I would make the argument that Nick Foles is better. So what are you doing?
Wow.
I'd also say this. Go get Sam Darnold. You might strike lightning. Go wait till the draft. Just wait. Wait till the draft. Move up. Take a rookie quarterback. maybe you get lucky. Maybe you strike lightning in a bottle and he's a good player. You didn't need to do this today. That's my biggest issue with it. It's not an Andy Dalton thing. You had Nick Foles. You could have traded for Sam Darnold. You could have waited for the draft. But you don't know what you're looking for when it comes to drafting a quarterback. You want to draft a wide receiver because he throws well. You want to draft a defensive end because you think he can play quarterback. That's not how it's done in the NFL. And now you're going to lose your job over it.
Marcus, what?
Dan just hit that better in a high-pitched voice. I just wanted to hear it again.
Yeah.
That's all.
No.
I just wanted to hear it.
It was so good, he had to let it just marinate one more time.
Which one?
Here's my thing about, well, the whole thing about they were drafting a wide receiver instead of a quarterback this size. It's a really good point. So let me ask you this, though. Do you think that Sam Darnold is really – like, is that going to be an upgrade?
You know what I mean? But you don't know. There's unknown with Sam Darnold. Shoot, you should have kept Mitchell Trubisky. Maybe you can develop him over this year. And he has a good year. This is all about those guys trying to save their jobs. And Sam Darnold at least has an unknown. Do I think he was going to have a great performance in Chicago? No. But maybe you get lucky. You know what Andy is.
Yep. I think what Dan's saying is so true. That it was a panic move, but to me, it wasn't panicked enough then. Because here is what I wouldn't do. If I'm Ryan Pace, I'm not sitting in my office caring about what the next move does to the Chicago Bears 5 years down the line. I'm thinking about this year. And so if you go get Sam Darnold and it doesn't work, you weren't going to be there anyway. At least you got a dude who was thought to have immense talent.
Exactly.
You go get Andy Dalton. That's like a dude that you go get because you know you're going to be there next year and get another try.
Correct.
They are not going to get another try. This wasn't the move to make. Dan is absolutely right.
I'm not sure that Deshaun Watson even wants to go to Chicago, but this is where you just wish that the Houston Texans, to your point earlier in the show, would take some calls because that would have been an extreme upgrade.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And every Wednesday, as part of Women's History Month, NFL Live will highlight women leaving an impact on the league. Today, we focus on some of the women making history in the coaching ranks. We start with Jen Welter, the first female coach in the NFL. She served as a linebackers coaching intern for the Arizona Cardinals in 2015 under Bruce Arians. And Arians has continued to be an ally for women in the league, currently employing two female coaches on his staff in Tampa. Of course, Lori Locus, assistant defensive line coach, and Maral Javadifar, the assistant strength and conditioning coach. They made history as the first female coaches to win a Super Bowl this year with the Buccaneers. Another name you need to know, Jennifer King. She's the first black female assistant coach, and King reflected on the importance of this, saying, quote, "Representation means so much. I didn't have anyone that looked anything like me working. To be able to see that is big. Four amazing women making an impact on the NFL with their talents and skills." So Tom Brady agreed to a new deal 1 year ago today. It's one of those things where you kind of think about where you were when that happened and think about this year that he's had. It's wild, guys. Marcus, what do you remember?
First, you highlighted the women, Els. I want to shout out Jen Welter. I've been knowing Jen for a long time. She's phenomenal, dynamic, and great people. All right, on to Tom. Like, listen, this is what we said. As we saw this season transpire, we was like, yo, this team is struggling, but they gonna find their footing and be good. And eventually they brought home a Lombardi. So that's Brady in the nutshell. Win the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did it. All right, still some excellent free agents available to fill some teams' needs. Give me a move you want to see happen. Ryan Clark first.
Dallas Cowboys, you got bombed on last year. I know you heard Laura talk about it earlier. Listen, Richard Sherman's available, Patrick Peterson, Kevin Johnson, who would be a great piece to add to that defense. You lose guys in free agency the last 2 years, and you don't do anything on the back end to bring in any veterans. I know you have the 10th pick. Go get Farley. Go get Pat Surtain Jr. with one of those picks, but get an old guy now.
Okay.
I love it, Archie. showing up for your secondary guys. Listen, we've been talking about this narrative. Go get a wide receiver, Baltimore. Please, please evolve this passing game. Please give Lamar Jackson a real shot. You got Galladay out there, Juju Smith-Schuster, who my sister MK said would be a great fit because of the mentality. You need a one. Go get him.
Now, I want to see the Colts go sign Curtis Samuel. Listen, somebody opposite Michael Pittman Jr. is really important for this offense. He reminds me of a faster Golden Tate, and that's saying a lot. A guy that you can hand the ball off to, whether it's downhill, you can get him on some of those jet sweeps. You can get the ball to Carson Wentz's hands on the perimeter with the screen game. He could also go down the field as a real receiver. So somebody opposite him in is your number two option. Indy, go get Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. The more protection and the more weapons for Carson Wentz, the better. Now to some horrible news. Eight people were killed last night in a series of shootings at three Atlanta area spas. Six of the victims were of Asian descent and seven were women. A 21-year-old white man was arrested today and confessed to the killings. Police say it's too early to tell if the attacks were racially motivated, but the shootings have been widely condemned, both in and outside the Asian American community. Atlanta Falcons owner and chairman Arthur Blank released a statement that read in part, "The rise in violence and hate specifically toward the Asian American and Pacific Islander community is inconceivable, unacceptable, and cannot be tolerated." Falcons place kicker Youngway Koo also posted this message on Instagram. "As an Asian American, I've heard the jokes and name calling. I often dealt with it by ignoring what was said and minding my own business. I don't have all the answers, but I realize now more than ever that this is an issue that needs to be addressed and that ignoring it won't help us do that. I know this one post won't solve the problem, but I hope to help raise awareness on hate crimes against all. Hashtag stop hate." More NFL Live after this break.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Free agent agreements and trades can become official now as we've entered the new league year. Today's news, AJ Green headed to Arizona. Adam Schefter reporting it's a one-year deal worth up to $8.5 million, including $6 million guaranteed. And Adam with us. AJ Green, the latest news today, but what's going on with the rest of the wide receiver market?
Well, it's a slow market right now, Laura. And I think what happened here is that there are some wide receivers with some durability questions. And I think receivers go into the market thinking they're going to get a lot of money. And sometimes they ask for more money than teams are willing to give, and they move on to the next wide receiver target. So we see Corey Davis signing. We see Kendrick Bourne signing. We see Nelson Aguilar signing. We see other players who those teams probably moved on to when they heard the sticker price, the initial asking price from some of these free agent players. And so you have to hit this just right. You have to ask for enough that you're going to be happy, but not enough that you price yourself out of the market. And if you price yourself out of a market like this, that's already thin, where the cap is down, where teams don't have a lot of cap flexibility, then you could wind up sitting there for a little bit. And I think there's a little part of that that's going on right now. Receivers had higher expectations for their price tags than the ones that they will actually turn out to be in the end.
Yeah, it's really interesting. By the way, Adam, shout out to you for excellent work as always over these past few days. Nobody better than you, and we appreciate you here on NFL Live and at ESPN. Now, when it comes to the particulars of this receiver market, this is interesting from Diana Russini earlier this week. She said, "I spoke to a free agent wide receiver about what he expects from the market in general. He said, I really don't care what goes down in terms of where I wind up, but my agent knows I only want a one-year deal. That's the goal." And interesting, based on the context that Adam just provided there, some pretty big names that are still out there that we were just talking about and that, you know, you kind of would have thought would have had a destination by now. Dan, if you're in their shoes now 3 days into free agency, what's your thought process?
Yeah, go be Dante Fowler. Go be Leonard Floyd. Like, go find your Aaron Donald at quarterback. the market is what it is right now for these receivers. Rechannel your thought process. If I was those guys, as much as you don't want to, go take a one-year deal that's cheap, betting on yourself at the right place with the right quarterback and the right play caller. Tell your agent, I want to go to Green Bay. I'll take less money. I'll take a one-year deal. Go play with Aaron Rodgers and go ball out and see what that does go for your career. Go to Kansas City. Take less money. One-year deal. Go play with Mahomes. How about going to the Chargers with Justin Herbert? Maybe you go to Cleveland, you know, with Baker Mayfield and go, okay, great offense. I know I'm going to have be in a position to succeed and play at my best football. So you got to bet on yourself a little bit. Shefty just mentioned Nelson Aguilar. He did it. He took a one-year deal with the Raiders. He had a career year, turned it into a big payday in New England. I think these receivers got to sit there and go, okay, it worked for Leonard Floyd and it worked for Dante Fowler. Who's my Aaron Donald, that quarterback? Bet on yourself, go play big, and then go re-hit the market next year.
See, we don't argue on this show every time. We can have a difference of opinion about what guys should do, but also two things can be true. And I would tell these guys, be patient as well. Like, if you find that scenario that Dan is talking about, I'm totally for it. And guys betting on themselves. But also, we have to realize that free agency is not 3 days. It's not 5 days.
Right.
It's a process. Yep. And sometimes circumstances change. Not sometimes, all the time. Circumstances change on teams, and then that market changes. It becomes more and more imperative that these teams find a guy that can fill roles, and they will overreach at times for that. I think it's an interesting dynamic, though, that we have going. And I believe all of these, the structure of these contracts, thinking about this wide receiver market, this is a landscape we've never been in free agency with the pandemic and all of the things that have taken place and transpired. So sometimes go and find a great situation to bet on yourself is great, and that's what guys should do. But also being patient and waiting to see how things play out as you continue to go throughout this offseason, and well, the season now, and figure out who is that team that is going to be in need of a wide receiver so badly that they'll pay you what you're asking for.
Yeah, I mean, that matters, but also we got to be self-aware, guys. Self-awareness is the best awareness, I always say. You mentioned Nelson Aguilar, Dan. Remember, this dude had a meme. He had a GIF or a GIF or whatever you call it, where a dude said he caught babies unlike Nelson Aguilar. He didn't really have a choice but to take a one-year deal. But when you look at guys like Galladay, Juju Smith-Schuster, they feel like they're in a better position than that. And so that's what it always comes to, right? Having the self-awareness, having the understanding to say, okay, right now in this position, I can't necessarily get that deal I want. So I will be patient, like Marcus said. I will find that place, like Dan said. And also, you got to realize this. Some of these places where the quarterback's the guy, you might not be the guy. And you can go and get a little lost in the shuffle. So pick the right position for you. That's the key in free agency.
My only pushback on that is the calendar hurts you. At some point, NFL organizations go from free agency and they direct all their attention to the NFL draft. And the draft is loaded with receivers. You're going to – Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota.
We ain't saying wait to April, Dan.
But, RC, that's five, 6 weeks away. The calendar at some point is going to hurt these receivers. I get the patience. You can't be too patient. I think these guys go get a one-year deal at a great spot with a great quarterback and re-hit the market next year.
Yeah, I'll also say there are going to be some teams after the draft that say, woo, we didn't get a receiver. Now we really need one. So patience could work there, too.
Good point.
New on NFL Live. How about this? DeAndre Hopkins quote-tweeting the SportsCenter tweet about the breaking news from Adam Schefter with A.J. Green joining the Cardinals. He says, time to go to work. Those two across from each other. How about some fun for Kyler Murray with those weapons he's got? All right, we got time for one more thing before we go. The biggest impact signing for this week for you, RC. You go ahead.
Mine is the two tight ends to New England, right? You go out, you get Hunter Henry, you get a guy in Jonnu Smith who can stretch the field. This is who the Patriots used to be, a 12 personnel team that can work with inside the numbers. I think this is huge for Cam Newton, a guy who skips some balls outside, who hasn't been great down the field. This gives him reliable targets when it's within the numbers.
Yeah, look, I'm looking at Corey Linsley and the impact that he can have with the Los Angeles Chargers and also leaving Green Bay. But I give my man Dio credit in trying to explain to people why these positions are so important. You have a young ascending quarterback. Yeah. You have an offense with really good pieces. Now you add a director and a controller of that offensive line. This is huge for the Chargers.
Yeah, I love that, big fella. I'm going Joe Tooney, same situation, center position. The Chiefs played in the Super Bowl. They had a weakness. We talked about it all season, the interior of their offensive line. In one day of free agency, they have now made it a strength. Joe Tooney could play center. He could play guard. Mark, as you pointed out, protect your $500 million investment. This is a massive pickup, weakness to strength in Kansas City.
Biggest impact signing for me is Shaq Barrett staying in Tampa. Just look at the postseason, his impact for the Bucs. 15 pressures in the NFC Championship game and Super Bowl last season, most by anyone in a two-game stretch, by the way. Most pressures in the league over the last two seasons. And listen to this, best pass rush win rate versus double teams last season, even better than Aaron Donald. Mm. So good for the Bucs. Mm. Keeping Shaq Barrett in Tampa.
Hey, L Boogie.
Hey.
L Boogie. Hey, let me melt that chain down so I can change my life and be rich.
Run DMC right here on St. Patty's Day. Why not? We'll see you tomorrow.